Do you think we're good to go?
Sounds like it. No.
Thank you. Well, formally for the record, good morning, everybody. I circulated an agenda, so I'm going to hand the mic instantly over to Rob, because Shell said, give it to Rob, to talk about the proposed survey of constituencies.
Thank you, Dave. At the last meeting of the working group, Cheryl presented the concept of a survey document to reach out and get more community feedback and input on the issue of geographic regions, their applications, and how the community interacted, perceived them, and thought they could be improved. The draft document that has been circulated among the working group via email and then by hand today is the latest version of the draft of that document. Right now it's the product of staff with Cheryl's guidance. It's still just an early version, and we're circulating in this form to basically be used as a means of getting feedback. Ultimately, the goal is to find delivery mechanisms that will provide the most circulation and access by the community. As staff, we've had some discussions with the Big Pulse folks. We understand that they have the capability to really help us produce this in multiple languages and provide some very useful circulation. I think the value of it going forward long term will be in how much feedback we actually get to it, and that will be a significant obligation on the part of, I think, working group members to publicize it and circulate it. I think the action item that we're looking at for this week is to get feedback from working group members on the questions, on the scope of the survey, suggestions and ideas about how it might be circulated. If any of you have experience on particular delivery mechanisms that you found effective, we've been brainstorming with Cheryl about Twitter, about all sorts of different delivery mechanisms that we're happy to explore. On a personal level, I don't have a lot of experience with this, so I'm relying heavily on some of my colleagues who have a lot more expertise. And Cheryl, I'll invite you to add your comments.
Thank you very much, Rob. And I think what we need to note here is this is something now that you can all pull apart, make comments on, and get some feedback to it. But it's much easier to play with a draft than it is to play from a concept to a draft. I think we should note for the record the excellent work that not only Rob has done in developing this, but also our use of the professional academic experience that Heidi brought to us. She has a lot of experience in this area, and some of the subtle nuances in this draft are directly attributed to her. In terms of getting the message out there, there's the within ICANN mechanisms that we obviously will use, but it was, I think, a recommendation that we'd like to bring forward to you, that we do use some of the alternate tools like Twitter outreach and things like that, simply to make it as simple as possible. And there is a template, actually not a template, a working model that was used by an education group in New Zealand, where these different stages were actually opt-in as you went on, and that's something that we did look at when we were putting this together. What that was however you got there, directly off the marketing, off the emails, or from a little link off Twitter, you got to the first couple of questions, boom, 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 that was really easy. Then it said, do you want to do more? Yes, no, boom, boom, boom. So people don't open and go, oh, I don't have time to do that. And they can come back to it, because we do want to make it painless but productive. I think that's pretty well it, other than feedback. I can see Kevin.
I had a few sort of detailed questions and remarks about the survey. I'm not sure. Although you say, Cheryl, that we should be, you're suggesting that we concentrate on the survey document, and the words itself. I may be making some assumptions about what it's for. I may be making some assumptions about what it's for or the context that aren't correct, so excuse me if that's the case. Okay, a few things from the registry point of view. I think we'd be happy to, quite happy to help to circulate this, but we'd add some a few points, make some modifications that help in that regard. Where you've got ASO or NSO, I think that would be NRO, right? And probably it would probably be good to say something like ASO/NRO/RIR for each of those. Under classifying in the classifying the role in the ICANN community, can we add internet service provider, internet exchange point, internet address registry? Could say of any kind in brackets, because there are sort of different roles. I don't think you really need to distinguish between regional, national, local. Just probably internet address registry would be fine. The tell us about yourself. Going back to the beginning again, this is a more general question about tell us about yourself, because the first question is how long have you been involved with ICANN. It sort of it puts it in completely within an ICANN context, and it may be that some people who are responding haven't been involved with ICANN, but you might want to still ask how long have they been involved with internet activities or and in what capacity. And I'm also not well, yeah, that's question one. I mean, maybe as the survey goes on, you want to hone down into an ICANN-specific set of questions. And I'm not just lastly. I think the meaning of volunteer leader versus community member. That's not entirely clear to me. And in question one, you've got volunteer leader in these things and community member, and I just wonder whether the word volunteer might exclude people who are involved in a business sense in those, from a non-voluntary, from a professional source in those sort of constituents. It looks to me like a productive thing, and I think you were talking about an online. Survey. We've used SurveyMonkey a lot for these things. It works pretty well. It's easy to set up. That's all for me.
Thank you. Congratulations for the great work. My concerns are similar to what's your name? I'm sorry, Paul was expressing. I have a question. If I read it, I feel it's very much focused only on the ICANN community. I wonder if we have the chance to make a broad distribution among all our networks, if we could perhaps add some other, I cannot think what could we add now, but we can think about it perhaps in 2 or 3 days. If we can add some other questions or comments and gather some more information from the broader community. This is one comment. And the second one is about languages. It's only in English. Are we going to make it in other languages?
Absolutely. And Rob did mention that one of the reasons we've already looked at least the Big Pulse technology is it can be in all languages.
Right. Fantastic. And I think it's very good. That's all for now. Thank you very much.
Just on that, I'm wondering if, seeing as we clearly need to modify what we're doing in Section 1, we can have a much more generic entry into Section 1 and then drill down into general questions or then ICANN. So we bifurcate the tree there.
I was going to say exactly that. Or you can, if it's like a flow chart, you could go, are you a member of the ICANN or not? No, you go down. Perfect. I agree with the volunteer issue. Also, in number 4, it says, I'm just looking from my constituency point of view, individual commercial internet user. The word individual would confuse some of our members who are businesses and corporates. So just slightly different language, maybe saying a member of the commercial, CBUC, for instance, or something like that. They'd probably find it easier. But you may have a response to that. So
not so much a response, but I think now what we need to do is we're getting to using this as heading towards a usable document, is make sure the nomenclature fits with the ICANN nomenclature.
Just a thought following on, particularly from what Paul said in his constituency, I think we've got to make it very clear we are talking about ICANN's geographic regions and not anything else. So that we need to change it in that respect. Otherwise, your people are going to think they're talking about their regions.
Actually, it was very helpful. Particularly you all mentioning specific questions, and so I was able to make those. Perhaps we can provide some time frame in which everyone provides some input that can then prompt a second draft of this document that can continue the edits, the editing process. I must confess that I, even though I attended the previous call, began to put this together, the overall application, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to factor it into the interim report. And I think that would be useful from a working group perspective to sort of say, okay, we're going to ask this, how do we think it's going to be applicable? Yeah.
And more to the point, how are we going to analyze it and who's going to analyze it?
Maybe just like, that was part one, or you know, just how you start the survey, but I like the question, just wanted to make the point. They are subtle in the way they're trying to sort of weed out certain grievances, if you will, if people have them. So I like the question, I just wanted to say that.
As they say in our legislative assembly, does anybody else wish to speak?
Basically, to elicit a response to Rob's very leading question, which is time course on this for feedback, I could say the end of today. But perhaps that's a little impractical. How long do you all need to have another proper read-through, consider, or do you want a second draft to look at now? Is it, you've given feedback. Rob could create a second draft, you know, relatively quickly. Do you want to have that distributed while we're here?
Zahid, do you think we have to circulate this in the genital?
It's just a survey. And I think that we can probably do this ourselves. And one of the reasons why I say that is the following. I'd rather get this out in the next day or 2 days. So if we can say, I mean, I go back to my constituents or my house or my part of the house and say, you know, this is coming, be aware, they'll be ready to respond. But if we leave it to a week later, everybody will be on vacation maybe, or, you know, basically trying to catch up on their sleep. So the faster the better, I think.
Thank you. I just wanted to check with you. Thank you.
I think my colleague Adiel, who's also on this call, wasn't able to be here in at the meeting. Since this document's come out fairly recently, I think it would be good for him and for our own consultation if we could just have another couple of days. So if it's possible to circulate an updated draft and give, say, 48 hours for further feedback. I agree, it's just a survey, so it's not... It's not asserting anything. It's nothing conclusive. It's not a big deal. A couple of other points that occur to me that in us, if we are, since we are sort of getting to a redrafting, that it might be worth under question four there grouping those questions into sort of functional roles and. Descriptors of the type of respondent it is. So the functional roles are things like the domain name owner, the ISP, etc. But another set of groupings is non-government organisation, government user, government regulator, individual, business, etc. So, and as this is a tick all that apply, I think you'll get some reasonable. Although that second category question is more or less mutually exclusive, so it could be another question saying which of the following best describe you, individual, business, government, etc. Section two does suddenly jump into something that's very specific to the ICANN geographic regions framework, and it might be worth drafting a sentence at the beginning, actually pointing people to that framework, because it's really assumed knowledge to sort of have a bunch of general questions then to sort of suddenly be asking questions that are so specific to that specific framework. So they were the last two comments I had.
Thank you. I mean, as Cheryl educated me, and again, it's my inexperience with surveys. You know, the first section is finding a way to, as you suggested, Paul, classify people so that you can then evaluate the answers. If someone has been with ICANN for 20 years, 10 years, is familiar with it. Well, remember, every year is like five. And it's, for a while, then you evaluate the response in one way versus somebody who stumbled upon it because they, yeah, a Twitter feed from Cheryl. So, you know, I think that's why it's very helpful. That's why it's very helpful, this functional aspect. So thank you.
I suppose we could briefly leap to item six because it sort of ties in with timescales. I would very much like to have a second face-to-face meeting. I think everybody said they were likely to be available at that time, which was, 11:30? Yeah. Is that the will of the group? Because if it is, I would say, can we try and get feedback and another iteration out for the certain time of the Thursday meeting? And everybody that responded said they were available. Okay, so we got a decision, and I got rid of another agenda item. How about that? Well, thank you, Cheryl and Rob, on that. I'm going to move smartly on to item three, I think, which is the, hardly call it a draft report, the outline report that we have, that I circulated last night. A lot of the work done by Rob. Thank you, Rob, for putting the skeleton together. I've filled in perhaps too much within one section, which is the history side, not yet complete, I'm afraid. But I'd like to take this in sort of easy stages. How do people feel about the overall outline of the draft? Are they comfortable with that? So we're talking just really about the structure. I assume the silence is that people are looking just to confirm in their mind.
I recall, and I can't recall at the moment, the members of the working group around the table today. I think most of them were on the call where you first shared the initial version of this draft. I also recall that you had asked for, Dave, additional feedback via email prior to Seoul, but, you know, particularly given the working group's decision to push out some of the time frames, I don't think that pressure has been so intense. Obviously, the concern would be those who have not been able to attend here in person and still give them some email opportunities to respond as well.
Okay. General silence seems to be okay. This is true, very true. Okay, so the question now becomes, how do we split up the work and continue from here? And I think it is going to have to be talk about the principles. Where are we going today and probably on Thursday, because we're going to run out of time shortly. But then share the work around, because I think we're all very busy, and that's the only way to do it.
I think it would be helpful from a working group perspective, because I think the heavy lifting is really going to be in that third section on the issues or matters to be taken into consideration. And in some respects, I think you all may have to make the tough call as to, okay, what issues are we going to focus on? Which ones do we want to really highlight? And then potentially you could divide up the work and say, oh, Zaid thinks that this is an area where he has particular expertise. Cheryl can do this. Paul can do that. Olga can do that. You know, that may be a helpful way, but you, I think, have to have that discussion first and some general agreement as to what areas, unless you want to do all 25. But I think that the tough call is you've got these categories, yes, sorting them, determining what are the priorities, what are the ones you really have to focus on, and I think that's going to require the more focused brain power and working group conversations. And that may be, I don't know that it's really up, Dave, for that to take place during an ICANN meeting, as everyone's got so many other things on their mind, let alone reading 25, let alone thinking about it. But I think that's certainly something in the process steps that you all may want to consider.
Sorry if this is asking clarifying something that may be clear to everyone else. The matters to be taken into consideration, as I understand it, they've come pretty much. Is that not just a linear list of separate things that have been raised without any? It doesn't appear to be grouped at all. So then there would need to be, rather than taking them, handling them issue by issue, or distributing them issue by issue, wouldn't it? It would be. I assume that they'd be grouped into similar issues under similar, say, SOs or constituents or some form of grouping, and we'd be dividing those up.
There is some grouping because they're grouped into various topics, i.e. general principles, allocation of countries to regions, number of regions, etc. So there is some grouping,
mm-hmm.
But you can group them in all sorts of different ways, in fact.
And is not, the second question is not this the survey possibly going to produce 100 more issues? And do we wait? Are we sure that it's not going to? And would they not add to this list, or am I out of sync here?
Well, part of the philosophy, and this is Mr. Boswinkel's brilliant working group approach to things, is with the initial report, the sense was to identify for the community what this working group viewed as the universe of issues, and then ask community feedback, have we missed any? And so the challenge there, I think, then becomes how you want to proceed if the survey does produce additional ones. I think that's manageable. Particularly as you look at the other, but I think that's a good point. There may be things that pop up. I mean, at a certain point, you have to, and in this I'd look to Bart for an explanation, you're looking for a narrowing.
Yes.
Without biasing that I think this is necessarily the way to go, but because we do have them in at least some topic classifications of general principles and non-general principles, would it not be possible for us to split at least into two and to grab those and any new ones that come in and start addressing them? I'm keen to keep the work going rather than wait till we see if the list expands. Whatever comes in will probably, if there is additional things coming in, will probably fit into one or other of the general or non-general principles for consideration.
Yeah, I suppose my biggest concern is I think we're being to some extent, being forced into looking things at a detail level rather than looking at a sort of holistic level. I mean, if we take a step back, the purpose of having regions at all in the first instance was the geographic diversity. Then the Gauls also inserted cultural diversity as an aim. It is questionable, to my mind at least, whether the regions do anything for cultural diversity. They tend just to concentrate on geographic diversity. And in fact, the present rules actually work against that in some cases. Let's not get into the details at the moment. Then we're looking at the other big split, which is representational issues and participation. So one could start right back at the beginning and say, if I were designing ICANN now, and I wanted to try and ensure cultural and geographic diversity, how would I do it? Would you even use regions to do it? And that's a more fundamental sort of thought. Whereas going to the matters to be taken into consideration, you're sort of accepting that there is a structure there and you're tinkering with it, perhaps? Or am I?
I think that's right. Two reasons. One, we're a fairly small group, at least the people around the table, unless I'm missing. The second is, I think we're supposed to, all of us, look at things from some form of macro, maybe how does it affect things. Maybe we can move along, and I think I made this point on the previous conference call, maybe just too early to try and break up into several groups and try to, you know, start work on in within. I it seems to me like silos, but if we can start the job and say, okay, you know, here are some of the issues, let's start tackling them, and then if we feel that this is just getting really out of hand, then fine.
I agree with you, certainly for the face-to-face meetings, etc., that we've got here. I'm just concerned, I suppose, about time. So it depends how long it takes us to get a feel for those global issues, if you like, and how quickly we can narrow it down into actually delivering something. Paul, sorry.
It seems to be... The question seems to be a case of thinking outside the box, and I'm not sure if we need to think outside the box according to the aims of this working group. I mean, the aims of the working group are about the geographic regions framework, and if as a result of our study we find that that really there's a lot of questions about whether geographic regions are the right way to go, then we can simply identify those questions rather than trying to answer them now. It's just a question of scope to me, that if we start to think outside our box as a committee, then we're probably extending the brief in a way that may not be, well, we haven't been asked to do. It may be useful, but I'm also trying to limit our work and our discussion a bit for practical reasons.
I take your point. All I was trying to do was to do, if you like, a little bit of thinking outside the box before progressing on. For example, perhaps on the participation issues, you could say, well, do you need regions at all? We've talked before, and I think GAC took the point that in the UN, the international norms would be for groupings to come together for some things and then fall apart, and it would be a dynamic approach, is what the international norm would be. I'm not talking about the representational issues, not the voting structure, but certainly for interest groups. So why shouldn't small island states get together as a grouping for some things? You start getting into difficulties then.
From my community's perspective, which is one of the communities which is very rigidly designed, and in fact we are built based on the geographic regions that ICANN chooses, the representational issues are something that if we're going to be tweaking, fiddling, or starting with a blank page again, do need to be right up the top and designed. In terms of participation, however, if we're looking at global outreach and representation of internet end users and domain name holders, et cetera, we have structures that are now being identified for that purpose, and we have changes in technology, which mean we don't have to be bounded by geography. What we probably should be doing is looking at, is there going to be a bunch of stuff that we will identify in our processes in this work group that need to be kicked over the fence to the Public Participation Committee and say, you know, because they're not bounded by, and they shouldn't be bounded by geography. There should be much more global outreach. It should be far more multilingual. There should be much easier ways for people to participate and be involved, should they choose to be so. But it comes back to the representational aspects that a modification. It'd be nice to start with a blank page, but I think that's more of a philosophical than a practical exercise.
Though I would remind everybody that very, very clearly, if you go back in history, because I study the history, the whole of the regional concept was designed to be dynamic. It was designed to be dynamic and was meant to change as the internet changed. It hasn't changed at all in the last 10 years. Is it still related to how the internet is? Or is it fixed in stone?
It's never a pretty look, especially at this hour of the morning. It's an organisational tool. So this is where the fit for purpose of what the geographic boundaries that we use are used for was so important. The matters of how meetings, for example, regional participation, there should be low fences around these geographic regions, not high fences around these geographic regions. So if you happen to have some form of regional meeting, outreach, exercise, a bunch of different constituencies or whatever getting together, it should be in no way exclusive, but rather a tool that facilitates and makes easier and more cost-effective on linguistic, cultural, or whatever grounds for a community to communicate with each other and with ICANN. And we should be able to say, and ICANN should have to put someone in there to observe and be involved. There should be some requirement for an interaction. We can't just have bubbles of people basically, you know, banging at their own workspaces and then saying, but we met and why don't you know that's what we said? We do need some form of formalisation and structural tools. And geo regions, from a representational point of view, gives us some way of ensuring some types of diversity. But we all know that there's some real problems with that, where you've got mismatch. So maybe we need to look at exceptions to the rules as well as modifications to the rules, but not to try and build something, to change something that is going to force us to only deal in a single culture or a single language group, or a single level of development is equally dangerous and concerning, because the least developed and the most developed countries will learn off each other. You know, most developed countries learn an awful lot about what it is about access and equity, what it is about, bandwidth, and what it is to deal with issues where, you know, things like battery life are important. And least developed areas need to know what benchmarks, what best practices, what models, even in policy development processes. You know, experience in an ICANN context of a simple PDP process could go back and make a change into how a small government looks at how it engages with its community. I mean, you know, watch what happens when we do have a broader mix, however they're defined. But some of the geographic issues, I think, moving from a general to representational to what the purpose is within ICANN. It's going to help us cluster those things. It is important to realise that, you know, our voices around the table are not all there is, which is why we need to get things out for public comment. We need to get the feedback because we can't second guess. You know, we had one comment in on our last call. You know, we can't second guess what the community need is. We have to ask and find out. You know, is there a problem? Is there a perceived problem? Is there an issue? Isn't there? Then we can look to how to fix them.
I'm just looking at the time because do people have to go at 8? I mean, eight, which is just 5 minutes. So let me try and get back to the agenda. I can find it. What have we done? We've talked about 3, 4, and 5. We've got a meeting agreed for Thursday. What are we seeking to achieve between now and Thursday before we get back together again? Revise comments on survey. What else? More thoughts on the way ahead, I suppose, from everybody. And if you... if yeah, fine. Yeah. So go through the issues. I think that's about all we can say at the moment. Concentrate on the report, if we can, for Thursday. We've got an hour and a half, so that should give us time to go ahead, and we won't have to have breakfast at the same time. So unless anybody has got any other business at the moment, I'm going to say we're 3 minutes to go, so thank you one and all. If you want to circulate any comments on either the survey or the report or ideas on where ahead before Thursday, that is always helpful because it gives people a chance to think before they speak.
And Mr. Chair, I will circulate just a confirmation on the meeting location. But again, I believe that's 11 a.m. on Thursday morning in the Sapphire Room in the second level. Third level. Thank you. I will. You want to sit here for 30 seconds? I will run down the hall. Yes.
We'll be wherever you are, Rob.
In that case, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.